bodily in my dream while I was dreaming. And he said, it is not man that reaches the spirit. It is not man that reaches the soul. It is my spirit. It is not man that reaches the soul. It is my spirit. And so my desire this morning is that the Spirit of the Lord would take whatever seeds are sown and help make them turn into something edifying to the soul of those that are here today. And if this message is maybe not as relevant for you as it one time might have been, then I ask that you would continue to pray for me and for the seeds that are sown so that they would be profitable. I'd like to return to the text from last Sunday in Proverbs, the 24th chapter, and maybe this morning we'll just read the first two verses that we read last Sunday. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. I've written on the board, ordering of life and home, and specifically this morning, focusing on the topic of marriage. Proverbs 24 and 3 says, through wisdom is a house builded. By understanding it is established. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So maybe just a brief review. All of us here this morning, we have a house. We have a spiritual house. We have a literal house, a home that we live in. And how those chambers are filled, the rooms in the home that we live in, the spirit of those rooms, of the literal home that we live in, the physical things that are in our home, the things that happen in our home, how the chambers are filled in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, what we choose to rent space out to in our minds and in our hearts has so much, has everything to do with the decisions that we make in life, the choices that we make. Last Sunday we quoted out of the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 19th verse, where it says, I have set life and death before you, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. So it's not just about us. Our lives are not just about us. Might be convenient to say, don't look at me, don't look at my life. You live your life, I'll live mine. You go your way, I'll go mine. But don't look at me, don't make your decisions based on how I live. Well, that might be a convenient thing to say in a way to kind of try to push off responsibility, but that's not real life. Real life is that we're influenced by other people. Yes, and that the decisions we make have consequences that touch profoundly the lives of other people. And so the scripture says, choose life, you choose life, so that you may live and so that thy seed may live too. Lord willing, and by his help, we'll continue to spend just a little bit of time knowing how, practically speaking, how to choose life by the help of the Lord and by the teaching of the Word of God. And this necessarily involves, we'll talk about this too, considering range of outcomes. Being purposeful and deliberate about how I make decisions. So if I make this decision, then what are the likely outcomes of this decision. What is the range of outcome with this decision that I'm making versus this alternative decision? I could do this or I could do this. If I do this, what is the range of outcome? If I do this, what is the range of outcome? Giving consideration to downstream temporal and spiritual realities, the consequences of those decisions. And this, of course, goes for more than just marriage. That's the topic for this morning, but that goes for all the decisions that we make in life. It is a wise person that considers range of outcome with their spiritual welfare and with those that they influence, their spiritual welfare, to consider that and think about it in a way that goes beyond the feelings and emotions and the current influences of the moment, that we're able to be disciplined in such a way that we can step back by the help of the Lord and by the teaching of the Word of God to give consideration to these things, because the consequences associated with our decisions can be significant. Significantly affecting our lives and our homes and everyone else that's in our lives and in our homes. And so our subject then continues to be, as we mentioned, what we wrote on the board, the ordering of our life and our home. Sometimes there is an absence of order, and that's how some people choose to order their lives and their home, is to allow for the absence of order. Order speaks of purpose. Order speaks of being deliberate about how and what the outcome looks like. And this morning, we want to turn our minds and our hearts to the ordering in a deliberate manner of our lives and our homes, as it has to do with what is arguably the most important decision we will ever make in life, second to giving our lives to the Lord. This is not a decision. Not a decision to make by trial and error. This is not a trial and error decision to make. This is not a decision to say, well, let's just see how it turns out and go from there. Because this is a decision for life, and it's going to follow us every day thereafter. So I'd like to start this morning and think a little bit about what marriage is. What is marriage? The Bible presents marriage as a sacred and a divine covenant. Marriage, sacred and a divine covenant. Not a social contract. Not an exciting experiment to see how this will go and then discard it if it doesn't work out very well, but a divine and a sacred covenant. Marriage was established by God Himself as being a covenant between a man and a woman. Marriage isn't a covenant that covers something outside of a union relationship as described in the scriptures, except for the fact that it's not a man and a woman. The Bible teaches us that God established marriage as a covenant between a man and a woman, and it's intended to be lifelong. It's intended to be exclusive, just for your spouse, rooted in mutual commitment. Not just by one, but by both. Genesis 2 and 24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And that then reflects the deepest of physical and emotional and spiritual unity. Genesis 1:27 and Ephesians 5:31-32. Those verses and passages, and we won't turn there for the sake of time, but they speak of marriage as a reflection of God's image. And further, the scriptures compare Christ's relationship with the church to marriage. And it's marked by sacrificial love. Respect and unity. So marriage is a partnership then between two people with a purpose not only to represent, Lord help us get a hold of this. Marriage is designed to not only represent but to reflect something greater than ourselves, something greater than the marriage union between this person and that person. But it's supposed to and intended and ordained by God to, yes, represent, but also reflect something so much greater than ourselves. And it's intended then that each partner in marriage help the other grow in faith, grow in love, grow in character, so that as time passes, that those two people who have become one by the grace of God are able to better not only represent the marriage between Christ and the church, but to reflect it in the way that you live your life. Marriage provides a foundation by which family is created. The Lord blesses marriage with children, that then those children also learn from that representation and reflection of their parents, of the marriage between Christ and the church, and the love that Christ has for us all, that they too might be able to live their lives in a way that represents this great plan to those that may also be looking on their lives and that they influence, and then continues on down throughout the generations. And so to this end, if marriage is entered into where both parties do not have a shared vision and purpose to embrace the plan of God, then you run significant personal risk to your house. To your physical house and to your spiritual house. That it won't be filled with, as this scripture says, all precious and pleasant riches. And I think that something that is actually can be an understatement, because if we're not very careful when this decision is made, you can enter into marriage and find that not only are there not pleasant and precious riches in your life, but actually the very opposite of that. disappointment, heartache, absence of love, which is replaced by hurt and pain. And sometimes these things can be so avoidable. And oftentimes, not only is your temporal life put at risk, but your spiritual life too. Your eternal soul is put at risk. And that is not to say that the Lord is not able to help and does not have grace to help every single individual that makes a decision that they get into a situation that follows them through life that is painful and hurtful. God's grace is sufficient to give help and strength and grace and peace and rest to help pick us up if we're in that situation and to help us. But if you're not in that place yet, and you have a lot of young people here, the message this morning is to be careful, to make decisions based upon wisdom and understanding. And so a question for consideration this morning, as we have talked a little bit about what marriage is and what it represents, does it sound like something that should be approached without much prayerful consideration? Is this just a decision that, hey, this looks fun? This looks like something that makes me feel good and looks good, so let's give it a try. Does that sound like what this is? The clear answer is that it is not. And it's not just something to give a form of prayer and consideration to. But it involves being willing that if you're in that place in life where you're contemplating allowing your affections to go out to someone, and you realize that the vision and that the Lord wants us to have of what marriage represents and what he wants to be reflected in our lives is not going to happen or is gravely at risk with this individual, we need to be willing to step back, regardless of our feelings, regardless of our emotions, and say, hold on a minute, I need to change direction. And you know really what it needs to involve to the young people today? Be encouraged to draw some lines in the sand that you're not willing to cross over before you ever allow your heart to go out in the first place. Because once you allow your heart to go out, if you just let your heart go out to whomever causes you to emotionally and physically just, oh, it just looks so good, it feels so good, it looks so right, and I just am so happy about this that I just don't see how anything could go wrong. And you just allow that to be the thing that causes you to give your heart. By the time you come face to face, that there are some real concerns that individual is somebody that would allow you to be able to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in your home after you get married. And it's only until after you've allowed your heart to go out before you see that. It is almost impossible to take your heart back. Seen it over and over. What is important is that before you ever get to the place that you allow your heart to go out to somebody, that with prayerful consideration, that there are criteria, that there are some musts, M-U-S-T-S, some musts that need to be in place for you to even consider it. And that if you begin to get tempted by a feeling and emotion that you have aligned so deeply drawn in the sand that when you recognize that, you say, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not going there. Not going to consider it. And it will save you a lot of trouble down the road. Because marriage involves living every single day with one person out of all the people that are in the world. And this is a beautiful part of marriage, but it's also a part that should give you pause. Have you ever thought about this? Hopefully you have. This world is filled with multitudes of people, and yet you choose one person. In the whole world, just one. To give your life to. One. Very special. It's the most special gift you could ever give somebody is your life. And it's intended to be beautiful. The most beautiful plan. But it can result in life or death. Blessing or cursing. So the Lord wants us to choose life. On a personal note, you know when you're first in love, you remember your first love? When you first start to experience those feelings and emotions of love, it can seem like nothing really can go wrong. It feels like that if I could just marry this person, life will just turn into this perpetual, blissful oasis. And everything else that seems difficult is just going to make all of those edges that are currently rough, they're just going to get smoother. Now maybe you didn't feel that way. But I don't think it's uncommon. And I remember when I, just before I got married, several months before I got married, I was engaged in my life at that time, I was in my early 20s, and probably like a lot of people in their early 20s, you can feel like you have the weight on your shoulders in different areas. I was feeling the weight of, I need to figure out how to make a living for a future family, and feeling that responsibility. What am I going to be? What am I going to do for the rest of my life? And is it going to be meaningful? And is it going to work? And what if I choose the wrong thing? And I want to choose the right thing. And it seems like there's so many choices and so many options. And how do I know which one is right? And I was still in school. I'd been in school for several years and had a little bit left to go before I was done completely, and that was taking a lot of my time, and it was pretty intense, and I was working and doing a job at the same time, and I moved out of the house and was living by myself, and a lot of change in life, and I was feeling all these things. Oh, but I thought this, you know what though, But when I get married, all these things might be a challenge. But when I'm married, well, then I'll be married. And these things, sure, sin come what may, can deal with all those things. Because after all, I'm married. Life will just all be good. And you know what I found out? First, I found out that, yes, there's much blessing in marriage. It's intended to be that way. Beautiful. It's ordained by God to be beautiful. But what you find out is that what happens is that you just used to think you had responsibilities of life. You just used to think that what you had weighted you down. And it just seemed like that the responsibilities and the consequences of your decisions, after you say I do, they just exponentially increase. And now my decisions don't just affect me, but they affect somebody else. And somebody else that is not me makes decisions that affects me. And they live with me every day. And tomorrow they're going to be there. And next week they're going to be there. And next month and next year and for the rest of my life. And they make decisions that have consequences on me. And by the way, all these other things and responsibilities of life just continue. That's what I found. And I learned over time, through personal experience and observation of other people and other marriages. So this is what I'm getting ready to say. This is about my marriage. I learned that how your spouse, before you got married to them, how they believe and think about the Word of God, and how they practice it in their life before you get married, but throughout all the years up until that point, how they, your spouse, interpreted the Word of God, applied it or didn't apply it. Along with all the other things we talked about last Sunday, the diet of the people and places that they have filled their lives with up until that point. Because it's different from yours in some respects. And where they live. And maybe where they worked. And their outward presentation. Their spirit, their attitudes, what they believe is important to convey. With their eyes and with their mouth and with their body language, how they choose to present themselves to the world in an outward respect. Talking about before you get married, and coming up to that point, what the practices and atmosphere and culture of their home was like. And the home they lived in, all the way up through their formative years of life. And how they think about the best way to manage time and money. You just have a limited amount of it. You don't get to just draw from the time and money pot infinitely, just limited supply. How they think about all of those things and their practices and how they were formed with all those things have a profound effect on your life after you say, I do. Profound effect. Don't approach marriage thinking that you're going to change the person that you married. Will you change them? You'll probably change them in some ways you didn't think you were going to change them. Will they change you? Maybe in some ways you didn't think they were going to change you. Don't think that you're going to go into marriage changing something about your partner that wasn't there before you got married. It is imperative to desire the blessing of the Lord in your life and are willing to seek Him first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, first above everything else in a way that results, in a way that results in fruit. And as much as is possible, get over this, as much as is possible, have spiritual and application alignment on these things that we talk about. Application alignment. You know what that means? Here's what it's not. So I meet somebody, and boy, I'm really taken with them. And they are the most beautiful person I have ever seen. And I mean, when I am around them, I feel so good. And I desire to, and not just be with them, but I think I want to marry them. I mean, I think I want to spend the rest of my life with them. I'm just taken with them. I need to make sure we're spiritually aligned, because I want to make sure they're a Christian. Are you a Christian? Do you believe in God? Oh, yes, I believe in God. Do you think that we should put Him first above everything else in life? I mean, because He's our Creator. I mean, are you committed to putting Jesus Christ first in your life more than anything else? Absolutely, that's most important. Great. You know, I had to do that. When's the wedding date going to be? Let's go ahead and set the date. That is not application alignment. This is what spiritual and application alignment more looks like. It's like, I'm so happy to hear that. What does the Word of God mean to you, and why? And I shouldn't have to be asking all these questions. You know, there should be a track record of this person before you're ready to let your heart out. I'm saying this for illustrative purposes. But you should know something about the Scripture says X, Y, and Z. What does that mean to you in the practical application of how you're going to live your life based on that Scripture? Because I might say, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness more than anything else, because it's the most important to me. And somebody else says the same thing. And then we look down here and say, okay, how are we going to spend our time and our money and the people and places that we go and the things that we look at and that we listen to and that we allow into our home, literal things that we think is consistent with the Word of God? What does that look like? How does your life, how is it manifesting itself in the decisions that you're making? Real life, practical application of how does the Word of God and seeking Him first translate into how you make decisions and how you live your life in all of these real life things? People, places, where you work, where you live, how you spend your money, how you spend your time. Where you go, where you don't go, what's important to you, what's not important to you, how you make decisions, your decision-making process. That's important. Because if you don't have what I'm going to call application alignment, as much as is possible, in some of these critical areas, and I'm not speaking about, you know, do you mow the lawn just diagonally, or do you mow it straight? And do you pass the food around the table from the left or to the right? And you know, it's amazing the amount of time those sorts of things can create in a marriage relationship when you think there's only one way to do it. It takes sometimes a lot of years to figure out there's more than one right way to do things. But I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about those things that just can significantly affect the chambers of your home and your life. If you do not have application alignment, and you are diametrically opposed on what you think the practical application of the Word of God means when it comes to your diet of people and places, and where you, how you're going to conduct yourself, and how you're going to live, and what you're going to let into the home, and what you're going to keep out. And if maybe on top of that, you find out that their life really doesn't back up seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and you say, I do anyway, you're asking for trouble. Your house is maybe not going to be filled with precious riches. Now this. Marriage is designed to be one of the most beautiful things ever ordained by God, where there's growth and there's companionship and joy and fulfillment and good things. I grew up in a home. My perception of marriage is very positive. I grew up from an early age in a home where there was joy and happiness and goodness and not only a representation but a reflection of what the Lord wants in a marriage. And I was so blessed with that. Marriage is intended and can be the best thing. So I'm not here this morning to try to scare or the young people into thinking that marriage is this dark thing that if, you know, it's just waiting to get a hold of you and consume you and then that's going to be your end. That's not the message this morning. The message is do the best that you can to make these decisions with understanding and wisdom and knowledge and be able to look beyond and outside just feeling and emotion and maybe current influences of the moment, but that you truly and really seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness before you ever let your heart go out. And I'm going to say this too. When you get married, there are two people. It's not one person, it's two people. And there will be differences. And I think the Lord designed it that way. That's part of personal growth, part of spiritual growth, learning how to love and to sacrifice and to give and to humble yourself and learn how to say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Yes, there's going to be differences. So if you're newly married today and you say, oh my goodness, we have some differences in our marriage. What did we do wrong? You may not have done anything wrong. Yes, you're going to have differences in your marriage. You're not going to see eye to eye on many things. And it is going to be a life of working together and letting the Spirit of the Lord work through you both to help you grow in Him and grow with each other. That's part of the beauty of marriage. It's just that make sure that what matters most matters to you before you say, I do, if at all possible. And if you're here today and you're in a marriage that doesn't reflect what Christ intended, and maybe you've experienced some difficult places, don't despair. This is, as we often say, a gospel of hope. And the Lord has a way of coming in the most difficult of circumstances and helping lead us and guide us. He is a healer. And He is a Savior. And He is a Shepherd. And we can get into the most difficult of situations where it seems impossible to us for anything good to come out of it. And yet the Lord knows how, like no one else, to reach down His hand and pick you up. And He can give you grace to make Word of God-based decisions from this time forward to help bring life where otherwise there may not have been life. So to us all today, let's all be encouraged. Let's purpose in our heart that as we endeavor to order our life and our home, that we do it with wisdom and understanding and knowledge by the grace of God so that our homes and our chambers will be filled with precious and wonderful riches. Amen.